This is an edited worship service from Peace Lutheran Church in Park Falls, Wisconsin, for August 30th, 2020.
By the grace of God, we are worshiping together on this 30th day of August 2020, here on 98 Q Country, 98.3 FM. Today, I want to talk to you about your part, that is, your role, in God's great love story. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessed day because you have made it holy for us. We thank you for this day as a new beginning because this day you began creation. We thank you for this day of renewal because this day you raised our Lord. We thank you for this day of grace, because this day you poured out your Spirit. Bless our worship this day as we see anew the gifts of your creation. Restore to us the joy of your salvation through our living Lord Jesus Christ. Grant us the power of continuing to take your love story to the world through your word and sacraments. Make us not only hearers of your word, but also doers of your word to the praise of your glory in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Today's service is Divine Service Setting 4. It begins on page 203 of the Lutheran Service Book. Our first musical selection is Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. Our order of worship this morning is Divine Service Setting 4. It begins on page 203. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are here.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness, and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us,
forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The introit, as you can see, is from Psalm 104. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all.
The earth is full of your creatures.
These all look to you.
To give them their food in due season.
When you give it to them, they gather it up.
When you open your hand, they are filled with good things.
When you send forth your Spirit, they are created. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning,
it is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful.
And fill them with fire and love.
Our worship continues now with the Kyrie at the top of page 204 in the hymnal. The light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us in our day by the same Spirit to have a right understanding in all things and evermore to rejoice in his holy consolation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
And now we will sing the Servant Song.
The first lesson this morning is taken from Psalm 145, beginning with verse 1. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyful singing and your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell you of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all his promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord.
The next musical selection today is called Holy, Holy.
Thank you.
The second lesson is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, beginning with verse 1. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us now sing, Praise the Name of Jesus.
The third lesson is taken from the book of Acts, the second chapter, beginning with the first verse. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." When Peter stood up with the 11, he raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said this about him, "I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me in the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence." Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are witnesses of it, exalted to the right hand of God. He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
At this time in our worship service, we confess our faith in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This morning we'll be using the words of the Nicene Creed, and they are printed for us on page 206. Once again, if you are able, you are invited to rise. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, he is from the substance of the Father, by whom all things are made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us on the cross of Calvary. He suffered and was buried, and the third day
Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to ask you a question today, and we're going to talk about it. And it is this: what is your part in God's story? What is your part in God's story? Back in the 1500s, Michelangelo, the Italian sculptor, painter, architect, and poet, magnificently painted the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel in the Apostolic Palace, which was the official residence of the Catholic Pope in Vatican City, Rome. Michelangelo, he used hundreds of characters from the Bible in order to depict God's unfolding love story, which gets sinful people back into a healthy and loving relationship with Him. Michelangelo, he used hundreds of characters from the Bible to show their respective roles in God's grand story of sin and salvation. Today, you and I, we each have a critical role in God's blockbuster love story. Now, you already know how God's love story ends because we talked about that last week. However, there are still things that God needs done, and there are still things that God once said. So I want you to consider your portrait in God's story. And let me ask you, what does it look like? What does your portrait in God's story look like? Adam and Eve's picture in the Sistine Chapel shows them eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil rather than from the tree of life. Because of that sin, God promised that He would send a rescuer to humanity, His own dear Son, for His own dear Son would save them and every other person who believes in God's plan of salvation. God desires everyone to receive forgiveness for their sins so that they can live with Him in heaven forever. As you consider your portrait in God's blockbuster love story, are you eating from the tree of life? You have been baptized into faith in Jesus, haven't you? Therefore, the Holy Spirit enables you to know that the focal point of God's story is the very salvation that Jesus earned for you. You trust Jesus to be your Lord and Savior from sin, death, and Satan. You do all that you can to obey Jesus' instructions, which enable you to grow closer and closer to Him with each day, becoming more and more like Him with each passing day. You know that each human being, just like yourself, is a sinner. So let me ask you another question. How does your portrait in God's blockbuster love story show you eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? With the Holy Spirit's help, you are given the ability to grow in the area of good and grow less in the area of evil, so that you and others see that you really are one of God's children and you are doing your best to fulfill your role honorably in God's tremendous love story. So, does your portrait reveal you as a person who trusts God? Trusting God even against overwhelming odds like Abraham and Sarah did? Abraham and Sarah, characters in the Old Testament, were past the age of having a child, but God blessed them with a son named Isaac, means laughter, from whom Jesus traces his human ancestry. Does your portrait disclose that you are like Joseph? Now, Joseph, he trusted that God was working good in his life, even forgiving those who hurt him and providing for millions of people who counted on him to keep them alive throughout a terrible famine. Does your portrait show that you painted the blood of a lamb above the doorposts of your life, as Moses and the Israelites painted the blood of a lamb on the doorpost of their homes when they were in Egypt, when God delivered them from slavery to freedom? Does your picture display your body as a sacred tabernacle, an extremely holy place where the Spirit of God lives? Like the tabernacle, the sacred tabernacle was used for Israel during those 40 years in the wilderness before they took God seriously enough to enter his promised land? Does your life portrait show you backing down from the giants in your life? Or does it reveal that you boldly face those giants, like Joshua did? And when all is said and done, and you are on your deathbed, does your portrait reveal your body as a jar of clay, which contains the light of Jesus Christ, which is brought to light in the story of Gideon in the Old Testament? Does your painting show you as one who invited foreigners, refugees, outsiders, and outcasts into your life the way that Boaz and Ruth did? Does your picture present you as someone who wants to be just like everybody else, the way that King Saul lived? Or will it present you as someone after God's own heart, like the caring shepherd David? And yes, like David, nobody is perfect. But hopefully your portrait not only shows when you did something wrong, but then, with heartfelt repentance, shows you confessing your sin to God in the presence of others, and you receive God's forgiveness, and you receive forgiveness by those who you hurt, like King David did. Does the depiction of your life show you worshiping God? Or does it reveal that you compromised godly worship for other things, the way that King Solomon did? When your earthly life comes to an end, will the portrait of your life show that your house was united with your family and with God? Or Will it show your house divided against family and against God? Like the portraits of Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Are you going to be remembered as someone who did evil in the eyes of the Lord, like the 30-plus kings of Israel and Judah? Or will you be remembered as one who followed the Lord boldly, as young King Josiah did? Will the picture of your life reveal you as one who faithfully proclaims the message of God through your words and deeds, like the prophet Hosea? Are you going to be remembered as someone who fights with swords of anger and revenge, or as a person praying on your knees, like King Hezekiah? Will your portrait display you as one who understands God's calling on your life, showing that you walk in faithfulness despite obstacles, like Jeremiah did? Will you be depicted with the determination of Daniel, by not contaminating yourself with the rotten stuff that's going on in society, but representing yourself fully devoted to God? Is the painting of your life going to show you as one who puts God first, like the people of Judah did after they returned from exile? Will your portrait be filled with the courage of Queen Esther? In your portrait, are your eyes going to show the tears of one who deeply loves God's word, like Ezra and the people of Judah? Will the picture of your life show the scene of Christmas, where you celebrate the birth of Jesus into the world, and you say with the holy angels, "Glory to God in the highest"? And will you be portrayed as one born again or born anew from heaven, like Nicodemus? Will your picture have you carrying a banner proclaiming your heart's declaration that Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ, the light of the world, the great I Am, as the disciples declared? Will you be seen with your hands placed on Jesus' head, transferring your sins, your guilt, and your shame onto Him, when He hung on a cross to die so that your sins and your guilt and your shame could be removed from you, and so that God can pronounce you forgiven and saved? Will your portrait include you standing next to Jesus' empty tomb, with your hands raised high to God in heaven, as you celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, like Mary and John did? Will you be pictured as someone in this community who devoted your life to represent the presence of Jesus the way that the early Christians did? Will your life portrait expose a scene from your life during which you are spreading the good news of Jesus to a neighbor or a family member, or maybe a stranger far away, like St. Paul did? Will your portrait capture you passing on your faith in Jesus to the next generation, like St. Paul did to young Pastor Timothy? Will the visual rendering of your life show you praying, "Come, Lord Jesus," because you are just as passionate for His return as was His disciple, dearly loved St. John? My prayer is that each of us truly loves God and believes wholeheartedly in Jesus being the Lord and Savior of the world. My prayer is that each of us truly does our level best every day, all day and night long, to obey Jesus' words, so that when our lives on earth are completed, our portraits show that all of the events that we experienced turned out for the good. Thanks be to God. You know, I like to think about Adam and Eve walking and talking with God in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day. I think that's a great image to think about. And I like to think about walking and talking with God alongside of my family members and alongside of each one of you in the cool of the day in God's heavenly garden-like setting where we are going to spend eternity on account of God's amazing grace. May we live our lives here on earth understanding that God continues to write His wonderful, eternal love story to the world through each one of us. For God desires all of us to be with Him forever, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, You lead people to faith in Jesus. Reinforce each person who has saving faith in Jesus so that when their body dies and their soul joins You in heaven, they discover that You worked good for them in all their experiences here on earth, since they faithfully follow Jesus Christ and await His joyful return on the day of resurrection, when He will raise their bodies and make it gloriously fit for heaven. And dear Lord Jesus, You lived perfectly on life according to Your Father's will. You went through Your earthly life's experiences, the good and the bad, for our benefit. Each person who is blessed with saving faith in You receives forgiveness of their sins and the gift of eternal salvation. Because of that, every Christian is able to clearly reflect their Heavenly Father's love, His care, and His compassion. Heavenly Father, may each Christian appreciate Your gift of redemption. For Your gift of redemption impacts not only their own life, but the lives of those who are living around them, drawing them ever closer to You. May each Christian live with the understanding that You, O God, continue to write Your wonderful and eternal love story through to the world, through them, for Jesus' sake. Amen. God instructs those who are redeemed by Jesus and given faith in Him by the Holy Spirit to designate the first 10% of their income and present it to Him through His church so that His saving message is announced and received all around the world. If you belong to a congregation or a parish, out of joyful respect and honor to God, present Him your tithe or offering at the place where you regularly worship Him. And if you belong to this congregation, or if you would like to support this ministry, please present your offering to God by sending it to Peace Lutheran Church, 598 2nd Avenue North, Park Falls, Wisconsin, 54552. I'll say that one more time, give you that address. Peace Lutheran Church, 598 2nd Avenue North, Park Falls, Wisconsin, 54552. Thank you. For your convenience, a donate button can be found on our website and also on our Facebook page.
Present our offering this morning, we will be reading from Matthew chapter 13. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all his seeds, and yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants, and becomes a tree. If you're able, you're invited to rise. Giving is an act of faith.
Please join me in praying the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Heavenly Father, you are the fountain and source of all goodness. In loving kindness, you sent your only begotten Son into the flesh. We give you thanks that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in the sacrament. And we ask you to not forsake us, your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Won't you please be seated for our closing hymn.
At Peace Lutheran Church, we consider it a blessing to share this worship service with you. We invite you to worship with us at our regular services at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. If you would like to support Peace Lutheran Ministry, please go to our website by searching for Peace Lutheran Church in Park Falls, Wisconsin. Just click on the bottom of the page on Donate. Thank you.